Blog Talk Radio.
Get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we lose our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we lose our soul, if it takes all night long. The evening sun is sinking low. The clock on the wall says it's time to go. I got my plans, and I got plans for you. I'll tell you all exactly what we're all gonna do. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long.
Why is it 12 o'clock and it might be 3? Time doesn't mean that much to me. Ain't felt as good since I don't know when. Don't know when I'm gonna feel this way again.
So come on, get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long.
Might be 6 o'clock, it might be 8. It don't matter that it's getting late. We're gonna make the band play one more song. Get in the groove if it takes all night long.
Get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Fill My Eyes and Laurent with Poetry. Happy Friday, TGIF. I hope everyone had a great week, and I wish you all a happier weekend to follow and a happy next week, too. You know, we can't hold back on all that. Anyhow, yes, if it takes all night long. Right, Laurent?
Hey, it's in the cards, I'm telling you.
Yes, it is. So, anyway, we have a nice board full of poems tonight. We have a couple people on the line already. It looks like it's going to be a great night, so looking forward to it. What was I going to say? I don't know. Anything you want to talk about ahead of time tonight?
A thousand things. Including get ready to buy your first electric vehicle anytime in the next year or two.
Well, there you go. There you go.
Predicting the future.
I guess that it is the future.
That's right.
Yes.
We are there.
Anyhow, we have a couple people on the line. I think I'm going to pick them up early tonight and say hello. I believe we have Kel Smiles on the line. Hello, Kel. Is that you?
It sure is, Dean. How you doing?
Well, I'm getting smarter.
Hey, good evening. Good evening.
Hi, Laurent.
Hello, Kel.
Yes, sir. Bub. So how are you tonight, Kel?
Oh, I'm great.
Very good, very good. Can't beat that.
Nope.
Can't be better than great. That's right.
That's right.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, let me see now. What else is happening? Ah, we got another caller on the line that I need to pick up, and I believe this one is Wayne Gent. Hello, Wayne. How are you?
Fine, fine. How you doing, Gene? Cal?
Pretty good. Long time.
How are you, Wayne?
Howdy, Wayne. Howdy.
Hey, my man. What's happening, my man? All right. You doing all right?
I thought, Wayne.
You got it.
Sorry, zip
you code. Got it.
You got it? Yeah, I got it. I lost my headset somewhere. I can't find my headset in my office. I've been looking everywhere for it. I don't know what I did with it the other day. I lost it somewhere, so I'm on the speakerphone tonight.
Yeah.
It'll be a nice night, if that seems like.
Yeah. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Yeah, so. It's good to have you. Definitely good to have you. Let me see. Well, okay, we have a classic poem to start the night out with. I'm like sitting here going, what am I doing first?
I don't know.
That's my favorite one. I don't know. Oh, well, yeah.
I don't know.
That's what my kids used to say. The two of them be in a room, and I would hear something happen. I walk in, and I said, who did that? And they both look at me and go, I don't know. And the other one would go, I don't know. And I'd be like, well, you were together. Somebody knows. Yeah, they're always messing with me. So I carried that I don't know through my life. And, of course, then I picked up the voice. Kind of a Bill Cosby voice, I have to admit, from one of his skits. Whenever he talked about his little daughter. So, you know, one of those things. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Hey, Sapphire Rose, how are you tonight? Hope everything is well. I'm going to put the classic poem up, and Laurent, if you'd be so kind.
Okay. Mm. This poem might appeal to a few people. It's called A Drink with Something in It by Ogden Nash. There is something about a martini, a tingle remarkably pleasant, a mellow martini. I wish I had one at present. There is something about a martini ere the dining and dancing begin. And to tell you the truth, it is not the vermouth. I think that perhaps it's the gin. There is something about an old-fashioned that kindles a cardiac glow. It is soothing and soft and impassioned, as a lyric by Swinburne or Poe. There is something about an old-fashioned when dusk has enveloped the sky, and it may be the ice or the pineapple slice, but I strongly suspect it's the rye. There is something about a mint julep. It is nectar imbibed in a dream, as fresh as the bud of the tulip, as cool as the bed of the stream. There is something about a mint julep, a fragrance beloved by the lucky, and perhaps it's the tint of the frost and the mint, but I think it was born in Kentucky. There is something they put in a highball that awakens the torpidest brain, that kindles a spark in the eyeball, gliding, singing through vein after vein. There is something they put in a highball which you'll notice one day if you watch, and it may be the soda. But judged by the odor, I rather believe it's the scotch. Then here's to the heartening wassail, wherever good fellows are found. be its master instead of its vassal, and order the glasses around. For this something they put in the wassail that prevents it from tasting like wicker. Since it's not tapioca or mustard or mocha, I'm forced to conclude it's the liquor. End poem. I like Oxford Nash. He was a unique individual. I would have liked some of his other stuff, but he has so many short five-liners. At any rate, who was here first? Cal, what'd you think?
Oh, I think it's awesome. All the different descriptions of these alcoholic drinks, it's fantastic. It's also amusing, but I think it was born in Kentucky. I'd rather believe it's the scotch. It all comes down to what's in it in the end.
Yeah.
Very well done.
It was. And Wayne, my friend.
Yes. I think mine's shaken, not stirred. I mean, stirred, not shaken. The martini it is. The juniors are from Kentucky. I drink every time I go to the Derby. I drink one or two of them. They're
cool.
Just about to come out. You know. And then as far as the highball goes, I don't actually have the highballs. They taste them, make me a little oozy after I have three or four of them. So I like how them. This is a nice poem and humorous and good spirited, and I like it a lot. Good job.
Good comment. Nash had a real talent for finding the right word to rhyme with, and was also usually the right word to engage us in humor, and that is not the easiest thing in the world. And then to have the rest of it put together as neatly and as tightly as he did, he was a past master at it. All right, Gene.
I love that one. I want to welcome Gray to the room. Hello, Gray. Welcome aboard. It's good to have you.
Thank you. Hi, Phil. Hi, Lauren.
Hey, Gray.
Hi, Kel. Hi,
Happy
Wayne.
Friday.
Hey, Gray.
Good to hear you.
Now, I think that maybe we have Naomi on the line, but I'm not positive. Naomi, is that you?
Yeah, me. Hello.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
Hey, Naomi.
Hello. Nice to
that
be with
cool.
you guys.
Yes, indeed.
Good
That's
to
true.
Have you as well.
Wonderful.
Absolutely. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to read the next one. We'll start working our way down the line. I think that sounds like a good idea. Okay. Oh, this one. Okay. I don't know what I did, but I've got it open in two places. And I lost the room for doing it. Here we go. Next one is by Jabbo UK. Yeah. Let's see if I can read it right. This one is called Diary of a Landlady, The Troubled Boy. While I was waiting for a guest, a stranger rang my phone, inquiring whether that young man had come yet to my home. Not yet, but I'm expecting him. Are you a friend of his? No, I'm his doctor checking up. That's nothing's going to miss. I thought this odd, but shrugged it off. The guest arrived quite soon. He seemed to be a nice young man. I showed him to his room. 2 days went by, then he approached. I'd like to talk to you. Okay, I said, what's on your mind? I've done some things I rue. They sectioned me, and now I'm free, but I'm no threat to you. The only person I might harm is just myself, that's true. I was depressed in several times. I tried to kill myself. Spent many months in therapy while I regained my health. I wasn't ready to go home. I needed breathing space. Somewhere where there's peace and quiet, a chance, and chanced upon your place. And if I'd known this before he came, I'd not have been too keen to have him share my house and home. How wrong that would have been. He was intelligent and bright and opened up his heart. He needed a good listener. I gladly played the part. He was a sad, sweet, troubled boy who took a wretched path. As he liked poems, it was in mine. Some even made him laugh. He booked a week but stayed 10 days. He seemed to be content. He was quite nervous when he came, much happier when he went. So sections is being compulsorily detained in a psychiatric hospital. Okay. And boom. Not sure if that line is
true. That was a fine read, Gene. Fine read. Let's jump right to our... all right, let's jump right to Gray. Gray, what'd you think?
You know, I thought it was a powerful tale of an empathetic heart showing love and light to a struggling soul. So I thought it was just beautiful.
It was. Mm-hmm.
Excellent read as well, Phil.
Yeah.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Gray, I'm sorry. Naomi?
Yeah. Beautiful, right? Touching, right? And I don't know if it sounded things true. And Diary of a Landlady, maybe she Jobo from the UK. I don't know her. First time I've read something of hers. Maybe she has like a house that she rents out rooms or something. But this is a touching light and shows you that, if you tend a helping hand, just listen sometimes. Just listening and offering a smile, you can make a person, smile again himself. So I like this write a lot.
Thank you, Naomi. And Wayne, please.
This is a wonderful poem with a nice storyline. A sad guy who was contemplating killing himself, and the landlady put him in a better mood. When he left, he's in a better mood. Jobo is a wonderful poet and a wonderful, a great person. I've known her for, since I've been here on the site, like a whole lot. And she had a great rhyme in this, and that was a wonderful read, Gene. Good job with the poem.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you very much. And Kel, please.
Well, it mentions in her end that it's a true story. So I have to commend this lady for being empathetic and comforting landlady. You know, to put herself out to help someone else, that's really amazing. So very well done.
Thank you, Kel. You know, it's Jabo's been on this site forever and written some of the most amazing and humorous poetry. And it's not all humor, but she has a real talent at it. And after her husband died, she kind of stopped writing, but seems to have rediscovered a new life based on her amazing home, amazing gardens, and the ability to have people come in through bed and breakfast, B&B air, and write a series of poems based on the many people who come to see her. She posted one poem earlier. I don't remember its name, but this one is, wow, what a pleasure to see a top hand back in action, as it were. Jabo blends humor with the humane, her amazing rhyming, carrying the story forward. This is the beginning of a great new series based on her new life as hotel keeper. She mines her stories in very fertile earth. And Jean, please.
Oh, I thought this was really wonderful. I felt like I stumbled over a couple pieces of it, but her stories are always well told. Her rhyming is always impeccable. And looks like a new book might be in the works. Yep. Well, I should say a book will be in the works. And I think it would be a great little series for her. You know, she started writing after she started renting, and I think that's a wonderful thing. It's a whole new perspective. So excellent work, Jabo, and thank you so, so much for sharing with us tonight. As always, I appreciate it very much. Absolutely. Okay. And for our next magic trick, I'm going to pull a rabbit out of my hat. I'm kidding. Okay, so I don't have to wait for anything. It's all right. I know there's a time delay. I'm going to put up a piece by Buddha. So we're going to play his SoundCloud. So here we go.
Down in the middle of it, no way out for me. You'll see. Tied to the middle of it, I can't break myself free. You'll see. Dark night closes in like a good friend, and it tells me goodbye. Lost inside is me. You'll see. Drowned in the middle of it, I can't breathe easily. Dark night closes in like a good friend and tells me goodbye.
To my son.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead and skip me. I thought it was beautiful, but yeah,
no
it was absolutely gorgeous.
You got it. Wayne, please.
I think the same before last. I got up about 3 o'clock in the morning. I went to bed about 10 and got up to 3. And I listened to Tuna Mbulo and listened to about 4, 5, 6 of the songs. And I went in my room and said, it's making it hard for me to leave my desk this morning. I can sit the rest of the day and just smile and listen to your music. Read great songs. So I wrote him, I heard about 7 songs that morning. It was one that made my day perfect today. Get up in the early morning, Sunday, and listen to some songs. Great way to start today. Great song hit here.
Thanks, Warren. Great comment. Gene, back to you.
Okay. Well, Dan, I think that you did a great job with this piece. I think as Laurent used the word melancholy, I think that is it. I think your song carried the melancholy that goes with the word goodbye all too often. You know, there's never, well, there's not often a cheerful goodbye. And I think that it was sweet, and I thought it was a wonderful brevity. And you did a fine job putting it to music. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay. Now, next in line to read is Kel. So, Kel, are you available? And if not, I'll come back to you.
Yes, I'm okay.
Okay. So let me put it up. And here we go. This is a piece by Adeline Faith. She's new to the group, so.
Love can Alden Evelyn Faith. Evelyn Faith. Okay, hands against the rough texture. Reminder of shape, fear, words. The course of true love did not run smooth. But here I am, a quilt against the parchment. With every shape, a secret from the abyss of the heart, finally engraved in the sweetest words. A dreamy sigh escapes my lips as the rays warm my skin like a lover, kissed from the wind, a caress with old tenderness. An enchanting smile graces my lips as the thought of his letter blinks in my memory, all in ink, all on paper, but tangible as flames against my skin. Wings of hope expanding from his hidden confession, wants a peak experience, as curious as a cat, but afraid to be caught. A red rose in my hair as a signal to catch the light from the moon, with a heart at bay, yet to whisper my name. But faith shall I not disperse, holding on to the reins, to these pauses of life that sends chills like a rival. Such is fiction, and such is life. That's the aim for the moon, so when missed, one has to fall for the stars. By closing a chapter and penning the next mystery, after mystery, page after page, romance my treasure, reserved for novels, but what is love then? Hard to grasp, like smoke and poem.
Excellent read, my dear. Excellent. Oh, that's all right. This is quite a poem by Adeline Faith, Love in the Ink. And she gets right to it immediately, hands against the rough texture. Reminder of Shakespeare words, and we know exactly what is intended by that. And then she positions herself as a quilt against the parchment. One is not necessarily going to fold or scrunch up or crush parchment. One is going to read from it carefully because the words on it are precious, as is parchment, a much finer form of paper. Yet as a quilt, she can cover it. She can bend, she can fold, she can wrap herself up in a ball. She's everything to the parchment. Parchment isn't. And with every shape, a secret from the abyss of a heart, finally engraved in the sweetest words. This is really an appreciation, a testament to the love letter. And she captures it fine, but it has a wonderful ending. But what is love, then? Hard to grasp, like smoke. I really like this piece. Gray, what did you think? Gray, can we get your comment, my friend?
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. That was a fabulous read, Kel. And it's a beautiful read as well, full of fantastic imagery and emotion woven into a warm quilt. It's a beautiful, right?
Thank you, Gray. And Naomi, please.
Yeah, I just love this. It's so, it has this kind of feeling about it. It just whisks you away into, you know, the hope inside of love there that's attached to the whole rite. The words used, the sentence, the flow. You just drift into this piece, and very well written.
Well, thank you, Cal. And Wayne, please.
I looked at her bio, and she's from Kenya, and she only has 21 poems on site. It's hard to believe that she's not been writing poetry very long, because this poem is very professionally written, poetically written. She has about her inner feelings about writing poetry, and it's wonderful. And it also has the kind of explains how we always tell when we write poetry, and the way she her words are so smooth and so pure. It's hard to believe she's just starting to write poetry. She's been writing for years. Great job in this poem. I like it a lot.
Nice comment. Thank you, my friend. Gene, back to you. All right. I'm the mute monster. You guys do not have to be joining into that. Come on, Gene. Ah, we have no Gene. Well, all right. I can fix this. I can.
Well, let's try it again for a third go-around. Wow. I thought this was a really nicely penned piece. I thought the imagery was very relatable throughout, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great piece. And thank you, Adeline Faith, for putting one on the board for tonight. I look forward to reading more of your work. Thank you so much. Okay, so that brings me to Wayne. And Wayne, if I could get you to read the next one, please, I would appreciate it.
I'll do my best. From Jack Thomas. Can you hear me?
Yep.
I hear you.
Yep.
I hung up on a little by accident. I'll make sure I wasn't on mute. This is called Fire Eater. It goes like this. Grabbing. The fiercest flame. Not afraid I'd burn it all down. Dying. In daily doses. Bleeding. By the slice, flowing all the rivers, only quenched by the sea, steam, plunge rising, walking arsonist, I scorch every hand and finger, don't touch, bandaging with bomb solve, salve, notion, their eyes speaking, burning down the barn, that crazy guy, just to feed his fire. Burn, baby, my motto, tattooed on his chest, showing it at his inquest. Saying, I just died, teenager male combustion is a thing. Man.
Great read, Wayne. Thank you so much. Well, Naomi, I'd like you to start us off on this poem, please.
Yeah, this can be interpreted in many, many ways. It can be taken just face into the writing about arsonist. But I think it's more, you know, it goes into like life itself and how it flows. How it can hurt you, how it can burn you. An amazing brevity, very well written, and very deep, I find. So, yeah, Jack, this is an amazing one right here.
Indeed, great comment. Thank you, dear. And Gray, please.
Yeah, you know, it speaks to those good old days when they were full of piss and vinegar, ready to take on the world and burn the barns down. I thought you did a fantastic read on that, Wayne, as well. But, yeah, excellent, right?
Thank you, Gray. Let me see. I think we got everybody. Now, this is a great piece, Jack. Jack always puts out a great piece. The flames of love in the hands of combustible youth who walk on hot coals without feeling the pain until later, sometimes much later. I really like this. Jean?
I think you missed somebody.
Did I miss, what did I miss? Wayne?
Nope,
you missed
no, I didn't. Wayne.
Sorry.
I think it's a great poem myself. He did a good job with this. There was a lot of motion in it. And even in his inquest, he showed his tattoo at his inquest. And at the end of it, he said, I just died. It's kind of sad ending, but he didn't care if he got burned up or what. He was going to burn things down whether anybody liked it or not. It was a good emotional poem. I liked it a whole lot. It's fun poem.
Thank you, Wayne. And now, Gene.
Nope. Okay. See, I knew I heard another voice. Hell, was that you?
That's me?
Give him hell, girl. Give
It's so nice to be forgotten.
Sorry,
I
just
I read
your
the cow
liver, too.
And it says, just a little ditty based on two lines written on a napkin sometime in the 1990s. Enjoy. So I don't really think it had any deeper meaning. It was just something he went with. So very well done, Jack. Back to you, Jean.
I'm sorry about that.
It's okay, Laurent. It's totally okay.
Kel, let me tell you, the only reason he remembers me is because I have to put up the next poem. That's the only reason he doesn't forget me. You know, otherwise, I'd be right there in the boat.
Now, look. You don't know that my house didn't fall down around my ears and I was making the best effort that I could, or that a spaceship landed on the front lawn and I had to meet the emissary. These things occur.
Excuses, Laurent. Yeah, that will get you, man. Hey, can I get you to read the next one?
Funny. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Thank you, Dre. Okay.
Okay, so this is called Fractal Aftermath by Daniel Descino. I think, therefore I am insane, chaos theorized as actions realized, a hyena's howl to lodge a flock in flight, and I stand in the rain mocked by a thunderclap of hyena laughter. Smile at a stranger, a suicide solution, or a mighty speech lost in the wind. A fractal pyramid of roads to follow, those even the blink of an eye creates, to follow each road to final consequence, to split the mind into madness. Lost on these paths, I've become eyes open to see more ways to travel. Eyes closed, and each fractal path pulses, red, unrelenting. So path I choose, and path I walk, and straight ahead to face what is. End poem.
Nice read, Gray. Thank you so much. Let's start with Wayne, please.
Yes, it's a great poem about someone who's lost a touch with the reality in the world he's in, and he's trying to own up to it, but he's a He says he's insane at the start of it, and then at the end of it, he's going to walk the path straight ahead, face whatever he's going to face. So he's trying to come cope with it, but it's having a hard time coping with civil society as it is right now. So it's a great poem and great storyline. And I think we've all been there a little bit sometime or another, wondering where we're at and what we're doing. Great job with this. I like the poem.
Thanks, Wayne. And Cal, did you have a comment?
Are you sure?
Oh,
I thought this was very interesting. A hyena's how to launch a flock in flight, and I stand in the rain mocked by a thunderclap of hyena laughter. Wow, that's fantastic. Smile at a stranger, a suicide solution, or a mighty speech lost in the wind. This is really fantastic writing. But I really liked Lost on These Paths, I've become eyes open to see more ways to travel. Eyes closed in each fractal path, pulses red, unrelenting. It just makes me think when you close your eyes in the sun and all you can see is like the red veins through your eyelids. And that's what makes me think, that's what impression I get from that little bit. And then you close your eyes and everything's more clear. So it's just really an awesome ride.
Great comment. Thank you. And great, please.
You know, I thought it had fantastic imagery in the right. And the context of the poem is bang on. You know, life is a fractal imagery, you know, fractal existence. Where everything, you know, fractures off and you follow each road until you get to where you're heading and face what is. I thought it was just an excellent poem.
It was very good, as was your comment. Thank you. And Naomi.
Yeah, everything I write, everything I read from Daniel is just amazes me. This is, you know, the decisions you make through life, the look at whether you take it, go in one route or you go the other route. You know, you have this consequence and you have that consequence. And, you know, all you can do is just hold your head up high and march through and, you know, and go straight ahead. And that's the only choice you have in life. And I think he captured that very, very well throughout this write. It's just amazingly well written. His imagery in here and the way the words flow together. Just an amazing write, Daniel.
Oh, great comment, Naomi. Thank you. I love the way he begins this. I think, therefore, I am insane. He's taken a familiar phrase. And he's added to it and theorized the chaos and gives us some examples of the difficulties of life in the hyena howl, but also the smile of a stranger or a suicide solution or a mighty speech lost in the wind. To no avail, that mighty speech does nothing. And what is it that drives us insane? As he says, a fractal myriad of roads to follow. And sometimes choices can be so difficult because one bad choice ruins your life. And perhaps one path looks more appealing than another, but is really fraught with danger. To follow each road, the final consequence, you know, they're realizing that following the wrong path can end in disaster, does then, as he says, splits the mind into madness. And you become lost on those paths. So, a great piece, which really follows not a disease, but the emotion of uncertainty that to some people is frightening and freezing. It can just freeze you in place, drive you insane. Excellent piece, excellent. Jean, it's back to you.
Thank you very much. You know, I loved his intro to this piece. As you said, Laurent, you know, it's, I think, therefore I am insane. And each stanza tends to, like, branch off a different way. And I like how he led into that with that first three lines there. Just really excellent work. You know, he talks about a fractal myriad of roads to follow those even. The blink of an eye creates to follow each road, to final consequence, to split the mind into madness, as you quoted, Laurent. but there's just so much to this. And I think that it was a clever piece, you know, with great imagery throughout. And excellent job, Dan. And I look forward to hearing you again soon. Okay, and I'd like to welcome Sawa to the show. Hello, Sawa.
Hello.
Welcome aboard.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Sawa.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Naomi. Nice, everyone. I heard great. Hello. I don't know who's anyone is there. That's who I heard.
Hi, Sawa.
Mm-hmm. Hello, great.
Hi, Sawa.
Did you happen to hear? Did you happen
actually,
to hear Dan's
I didn't hear it, but I heard all your comments, and I heard I'm reading it. I agree what Naomi said. I love all his writing and all his reads. He's very deep. Smile at the strangers, mm-hmm. Inside solution. The one that you picked really got my attention because I lost so many friends who died and unfortunately with suicide. So this has really moved me deeply. Just very like he have. They're almost like wisdom lines. He has so much depth in his poetry. So the path I choose and path I walk and straight ahead to face what is. Absolutely life. We have to face so many things with a smile and caring about others. Very beautiful, really very deep.
Absolutely. Great comment. Okay.
Oh,
so, Naomi. Can I get you to read the next one?
Yeah, okay.
This TikTok. One's by Neutron Bomb.
Neutron Bomb, tick-tock, tick-tock. Vibrant light shines like a torch through Cape Diamonds, capturing angular facets, time waits for none, a broad of clouds amass. But you shift the obsidian curtains from the night sky, revealing in the silence, dancing to the beat of the djembe drum. Ankh stones gaze as the crow flies, drinking from my emerald chalice. Let intoxication coalesce as our tongues, as Mandarin hills. Give way to street lights and boroughs where time is like an oppressive heat that blisters the skin and tans the hide. Melt my ticker down in a crucible as the sunrise lashes luminance, lavishly latching at the lectern of my lips.
You added some warmth to that one, Reed. Nice. You know, that last stanza has some very fetching alliteration. As the sunrise lashes luminescence, lavishly lashing at the lectern of my lips. That is well done, as is the poem, which speaks so, not mystically, but so... I don't know. There is something in this that is almost mystical to me. I think it's probably the first stanza and the fourth stanza. Vibrant light shines like a torch through Cape Diamonds. Beat of my djembe drum. Onyx stones gaze as the crow flies, drinking from my emerald chalice. The images are strong. The obsidian curtains, the street lights and burrows. Some terrific phrasing in this poem. It really is a special piece of writing. Let's see. Sawa, if you could start us off, please.
Oh, excuse me. Naomi, great read. You did. It was not easy to read, and you did an amazing job. You're welcome. I love Neutron Bomb writing. She has also very deep write. Imagery very vivid. You can see them. You can feel them. She just have a way, but you shift the obsidian curtains from the night sky, revealing the silence dancing to the beat of my djembe drum. I really love this one. There's almost something that we're hiding. The time is clocking, and just everything changed by this curtain that he removed. I really love it. There's heat. It's very beautiful. I feel like there's some, maybe I misunderstood this because I don't know every word, really. I'm guessing. So I think it has a very kind of sensual, intimate vibe here, but maybe I'm not sure. That's what I see here. But beautifully, the imagery is so beautifully done.
Thank you, Zawa. And Cal, your comment, please.
Good thing you didn't skip her. She's been a bitch.
Did you say Cal?
Cal, your comment?
Yes, yes. I thought it was absolutely amazing. I love the vocabulary, the description of the descriptions of things were absolutely amazing. The onyx curtains and, like you said, the first sandals. This really was a hell of a way to start it in. Is this very well done?
Thank you, Cal. And Wayne, my friend, your comments.
Yes, Tom, wait for no one. For none, is what she says. She puts that train of thought into a great poem. Neutron has a great vocabulary, and she's so eloquent in her writing that she's closed down perfectly. I wish I had her vocabulary. She has a great knack for imagery. When she writes stuff, you can see it, you can picture it in your head immediately, and it's just a great poem, and time does not wait for anyone. She's right there. Pretty job, this poem.
Thank you, Wayne. And Gray, please.
Yep. Wayne,
yeah, I thought it was a stunning write, and you did a fabulous read, Naomi. But, you know, it's got such a magical imagery. Like, vibrant light shines like a torch through caped diamonds, capturing angular facets. Time waits for none, a brood of cloud amasses. You know, you can see all that as she described it, and it's just beautifully done.
Thank you, Gray. And lastly, our fine reader, Naomi.
Yeah, I see this as a kind of a haunting, sensual dance with death. Maybe it's just me, but yeah, the way some of these sentences stuck out to me, and the title, Tick Tock, Tick Tock, and then there's the crow, and there's the drum, and the blisters on the skin, and so see it as that. And she always amazes me, Neutron Bomb, with everything she writes. Just fantastic the way she can stitch words together and just come out with these amazing pieces. So bravo.
Thank you very much. Jean, back to you.
Excellent work, Neutron. I really enjoyed the poem as a whole, but I have to say those last four stanzas, I thought they were a knockout. So really well done, and I enjoyed it very much. Okay, let me look. Okay, I'm going to start with Sawa and put up her piece, and then, Laurent, I'm coming to you. Okay, Sawa, whenever you're ready.
Okay, thank you. I'm lucky tomorrow is a better day. J'ai de la chance que demain soit un jour meilleur. I don't believe in pessimism, yet there are times where deep fear arises in my soul when memories from the past flare. Anytime anybody tells me, let go, I try to be reasonable. I don't think loud. I wish they understand anxiety is real. End of poem.
Nice job.
Okay. This is very different from what you've been writing. it's a brevity. You don't usually write a brevity or close to it, but this one is especially short, yet like many brevities, very powerful for all of that. When you say you don't believe in pessimism, And then you say, I wish they could say that anxiety is real. I believe that you can be pessimistic without suffering from any kind of anxiety disorder. But you make the point here that the anxiety is real. So that deep fear that arises in your soul is a powerful fear. But the distinction between pessimism and anxiety, or the lack of a distinction, is interesting and allows the poem to be interpreted in a couple of different ways. This is very nicely done. Let's get some quick comments for you, please. Did you say Wayne had dropped, Gene?
Actually, he's back. So
I'm back.
He's back.
He's here.
Good.
They put my mute button right where my on-off switch used to be on my new phone, so I keep hanging up. I'm sorry about that, but I put all the time.
Right, Wayne, let's start with you, okay?
For me?
Yep.
I wrote that anxiety is different than from pessimism, because you can have anxiety and be an optimist. But she's saying that she has these anxious about the beliefs and but she's not pessimistic about her beliefs. So I think it's a wonderful poem. It has a good meaning to it. Good job, Ursula.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you, Wayne. And Gray, please.
Yeah, I thought you did a wonderful read on that, Sawa. And, you know, such a touching write. You can feel the anxiety and the pain that you suffer from your memories. And, you know, my heart goes out to you and everybody else that suffers from anxiety.
Thank you so much, Gray.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Gray. And Naomi?
Yeah, my son suffers from this. It just started last year. And, you have to write these kind of rights because, you know, even if somebody says, somebody's there and saying, let go, you try to, but you can't. And it's all about accepting and just, you know, being there and being an attentive ear and listening when these people, this problem arises in the individuals. And just being an attentive ear and leaving them live what they have to live and pass through those emotions and accept them for being who they are. So I think this is all about, you know, it's saying, you know, I'm not a pessimist. I just suffer from anxiety and accept me how I am, you know, the good and the bad and all in between. Just be there for me and accept it.
Thank you so much, Naomi.
So very well written, Salwa. Deep
Thank
peace.
You, Naomi. Merci.
Mm-hmm.
And Cal, please.
Well, I think Naomi said it very, very well. I don't think she's saying that she's trying to, that she is pessimistic. It's just at times that people keep telling her, just let go of your problems, let it go, you know. And you can't always do that. And when they're always trying to force it on you, it just makes it harder to let go. And that anxiety and the fear stays with you. Even though you're trying your best not to be negative about everything, people around you just make it very difficult not to. So I think this is a very beautiful writing, Sawa. And
thank you.
Yeah, anxiety is a bitch. Holy cow.
Thank
well
you,
done,
good to hear you.
You too.
Thank you.
Great comment, everybody. Back to you, Jean.
Great job, Sawa. Another
one. I have
brevity.
To go in about 10 minutes or so, Jean. Just to let you
okay,
know.
I'll tell you what. Let's do Laurent and then we'll do yours. And then
yeah,
we'll
okay.
Come back
thank
and
you very much.
Okay. Yeah. You're welcome. Okay, Laurent, I'm going to put your piece up, and here we go.
All right, this is called Volcano House. Come, stay at Volcano House. be it in Iceland or in Spain, where falls my fair lady's reign. Night sky splits in golden wonder. Earth eruptions teemed most likely. Belly of the beast empties nightly. An orange bloom jets loudly, the voice of God to some, beating of the largest drum. Come ye, seas of lava, brimming yellow jets of fire, married to our night's desire. Wrap your arms around me, love, and pace the pulse of an angry earth with the passion of my plunging girth. Hail now the ascending plumes of flame that creep along your length of spine. Hear me whisper, love, be mine. Prime moment rears its fiery head. The eruption inside of us escapes as you rake me from my legs to nape. Volcano house, it has that view which heats and boils the blood, and mutual consent discharges flood. End poem.
Nice job, Laurent. Let's see. Cal, can I get you to start things off?
That was a very hot eruption, my dear friend.
All right.
Awesome metaphor. That's really well done. Very well done. Very passionate and I'd say sensual. Well done.
Thank you, dear.
Great job. Nice comment, Cal. Gray, how about you?
Well, you know, as usual with your talented writing, you pulled out an amazing story with the imagery here. You know, the fascination of volcanoes and their spewing magma and all of that. You captured that beautifully, especially your opening stanza. Come stay at Volcano House, be it in Iceland or in Spain, where falls my fair lady's reign. And then night sky splits in golden wonder, earth eruptions deemed most likely, belly of the beast empties nightly. So you're anticipating that explosion, and then, you know, absolutely you get that in the next paragraphs. Just beautiful. Excellent read and excellent write.
Thank you, Gray.
Hey, you bet.
Mm-hmm. Naomi, how about you, hon?
Yeah, I see this as a double, like, you can either see the volcano as a metaphor for passion and love and lovemaking, and or you can see, you know, the volcano for itself, the passion and the fury that exists inside of a volcano itself. So you can take it as one in one way or in the other. And that makes it a very interesting and deep write. And wow, it's, as always, Laura, it's so well written. But yeah, I really, really dig this piece. Dig it a lot. Really well written and amazing.
Thank you.
Nice comment, Naomi. Sawa, how about you?
Yeah, I agree with everyone. Gray said it also very well that you're such a talented writer. Beautiful, passionate, romantic metaphor. No one would think about this but Laurent Volcano that turned it to romantic. Really beautifully done, seriously. Very done, beautifully done.
With the back-to-back eruptions in Iceland and now in the Canary Islands, I spent quite literally hours watching amazing eruptions at night. It's really mesmerizing. And the tourists flock in from all over the world. And I even saw a pair of newlywed get married at the side of the volcano. So that was the genesis of this poem.
Oh. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and Wayne, how about you?
If anything will put fear in a person, it'd be a volcano with its thunderous eruptions and its unstoppable lava flow. But you made this volcano sound, it was kind of romantic, and I could hear the passion in your as you read it. It's a great read, and I'm not moving into a volcano house for no reason whatsoever.
I'm just kind of curious. Okay, thank you, Ray.
Okay, Laurent the Lava Man. It was a great night. Very well done. It was nice work. And I appreciated it for tonight. It was a nice change of pace. So, awesome job. Excuse me.
Thank you.
I'm losing my voice. It's because I'm saying bad things. That's why. Okay. And by the way, Sapphire Rose, I believe, responded to Wayne's thing about not moving to the lava house for any reason. She went, hell no. So, there you go. Yeah. Naomi, I'm going to put your piece up and let me know.
Yeah, I can read it. Well, I can read it.
Oh.
Do you want me to read it?
Okay.
I'll read it. It's called Cage Stand. Gripped inside with scarlet harshness of the grinding of rust on table legs, loud smacking of grape-drenched gum, the tap, tap, tap of drumming fingers. While outside, cobalt clouds are so much more than just denim stains on copy paper. I need to blur into the silent edges of a tarmac sky, lick the soles of abandoned shoes, drift with windswept tumbleweed into cornflower fields full of dreams where my footsteps have never taken me. And
there we go. Wow. Great read. Great piece. Well, let us start with Kel, please.
I'm a teacher, by the way. That's a classroom. Just to let you know.
We have something in common.
Okay. I get the impression of somehow of abuse and fighting to get away from it in any way possible. I may be wrong, but that's the impression I'm getting. But it's very oblique, but it's also very well done. And your imagery is just gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you very much. Great comment. Great comment. And Wayne, my friend.
You talk about being caged in and you can't get out. When you stay in your alien, your classroom can be like a cage. And I bet a classroom could, because it might depend on you being there and teaching them, and you can look out the window and all you want to do is escape for a while and be by yourself. So I can see where you feel like you're caged in being a teacher. It's a great poem, and you read it well, and I enjoyed it a whole lot. Great job with this.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thanks, Wayne. And Gray, please.
Beautiful read, Naomi. And, this is a powerful poem. It's rich in metaphor and steeped in incredible imagery throughout. Excellent, Bright. Excellent read.
Thanks,
Gray.
And Solwell.
Sharing something in common, teaching. So I see this is where it is, what it's about.
Yeah.
I can see here. Mm-hmm. I can see here that you're talking about the children, that you really, really kind of very deeply moving when you say, where is it? Oh goodness. Tap. I'm just trying to find the sentences. Lick to. Drift in the sweet tap temple weed into cornflower fields full of dreams where my footsteps have never taken me. The one about the shoes, lick the soles of abandoned shoes. This really hit me deeply. Talking about maybe some kids, something like you're missing them or something happened to them. And that's what it is. That's what it makes me see here. I'm not sure, but that's what I see. Lick the sole of abandoned shoes. Wow. And you really, this is mean like how much you care about your student and class and the story and their life. A lot of kids have broken stories. It's really hard to, when you get attached to them too. I'm not sure that's where you're going, but that's what I see.
Yeah, well, I love my kid, but it depends on the date. So sometimes I just want to drift out of there into a cobalt sky and go somewhere else. So that's kind of what.
I see. So the other way around. Okay.
Yeah, the other way around. I explore other, you know, other areas.
Okay.
Great comment, Paula. Look, I've got to kind of go on the same tack that that Sawa took. This poem is from the teacher's perspective because you say it's from the teacher's perspective, and because of the language and the thought does not seem like the thought of a child. However, I can tell you, as I'm sure all of you will agree to me with me, that there were times when a classroom was a hell of a cage and impossible to get out of. It was a three-ring circus, and you were the circus ringmaster, and we were the trained seals. This puts forth the monotony, perhaps, of sometimes being a teacher, going through the grind. I mean, the scarlet harshness of the grinding of rust on table legs is not something that happens in one day. It happens over years, and you can feel those years of ennui hitting you as the teacher. And trust me, some of those kids who had to repeat their grades felt that very same grinding. Either way, great piece, my dear. Jean?
Thank you.
Naomi, that was an excellent piece. I really enjoyed your... I have to go over here. God forbid I can get anything all to go in the same direction at the same time. Yes. Where are you? Here you are. I love these two stanzas that you put together. Cobalt clouds are so much more than just denim stains on copy paper. I need to blur into the silent edges of a tarmac sky. I thought they were wonderful. I thought it was great imagery in those two stanzas alone. I mean, the rest of it was wonderful, but these two really caught me. I think it was, I liked the copy paper reference, and I thought the tarmac sky was pretty darn clever. So nicely done, really nicely done.
Thank you, Jean.
You're welcome, honey.
Okay,
yeah,
I have
that
to go. Okay, I have
honey.
To go, so
well,
good night, everybody.
Bye.
Good night.
Okay, Kel, I'm going to put your piece up, if you don't mind.
I don't mind at all.
Very cool.
All right, force of her nature. She was tall and strong and oaken framed. Autumn leaves spring from branching, limbs extended from bird's nest base. Her children growing at her baseline, booted in loamy fermented soil in a forgotten meadow tinged in sunlight. Her motherly nature instinctive senses, roots reaching across the bordered glen, holding her children in ancient defenses. She's had many earthly shriven name, a mythical and mysterious creature, dryad, child of Gaia, Diane, creature name. She may be unknown to humanity's races, unseen in her forested elemental world, protecting her growing seedling space. Forested eyes alert to threats of violence, armed limbs gathering saplings closer, as wildlife warnings break the silence. Is seen by human eyes not to be believed. Prior warnings taken, she's not surprised by the plane of wood she will leave. Hidden away in forests, graces deep, where no one will know of fear or relief. Its existence a secret all creatures keep. If by some unknown happenstance you come across a loose earthly meadow, save yourself, don't take your chances. Mother Gaia may be watching in wait. She could be the form of a normal tree. You'll never know what will be your fate. End poem.
Nice job.
Great read, Joe. And a hell of a poem. This is very impressive. Let's start with Gray, please.
Sorry, excellent read, Cal, and what a fantastic poem, you know, just filled with amazing imagery, and I love your storyline, you know, especially the opening. She was tall and strong, an oaken frame, autumn leaves spring from branching limbs, extended from bird's nest base. Just a fantastic write. I don't know if you did it off of the picture as a prompt, but, you know, it's an amazing write, though.
Yes, it was a picture prompt.
It's beautiful. I thought you did it justice for sure, and then some.
Thank you very much, Gray. And Sawa, could you comment, please?
Yes, you can tell. I see like it's a prompt, but you can tell how much you really appreciate nature and the forest. Forested eyes, alert of threat of violence, armed limbs gathering, stepping closer. Wildlife warning breaks the silence. We human beings abuse Mother Nature, and you kind of give a warning at the end, be aware. I don't remember where, but you really give a warning and be aware she's watching us. It's really beautiful. It's true. It's old, and it's been there forever, and we don't respect, unfortunately, some of us, the nature. Well done. Beautifully done.
Thank you, Salva.
Thank you,
pleasure.
Sawa.
My
pleasure.
And Wayne, please. Yeah, this poem is like a tree that autumn time loses leaves because it seems like it's a little bit down on itself. But great phrasing in this. I think she's down because she's losing her leaves, and she's kind of upset. But anyway, so a great poem, and great phrasing in this, and there's one poem all the way through, and at the end it gives us a little warning. And so it's just a great poem all the way around. I enjoyed it to read. Great job.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thanks, Wayne. And Jean, back to you, dear.
Okay. Well, Kel, I think this was a great take on that prompt. And it takes me back quite a few years to a commercial that used to say, it's not nice to fool Mother Nature. And she used to just, you know, set the thunder off. So that's just what it reminded me of. Nothing to do with it looking like the prompt or even your words. It's just the feeling behind it, you know, that you got to be careful some days. Did you get me a snatcher?
Very much, everyone.
Let me see. Now, Gray, you do not have one on the board. Tisk, tisk, tisk. But I have one for you to read. So if you could find something, that would be great. But not right now. Here we go. This one's by Pam H.
Okay, sounds good. I'm just going to refresh here. Here we go. Tree Trilogy by Pam H. Walking in the forest one day, I came across a tree. It wasn't much to look at. Probably thought the same about me. Better days it must have seen. Holes through to the other side. What I saw blew my mind, opened it up wide. Peering through and through that aged crone tree, I saw the future itself. I saw a crony of me. Draped in a tribal shawl, no shoes on her dirt-stained feet, tending to the four-leggeds, as well as the many varieties of green ones. Every once in a while, shaman crony would scream and dance as her shaman doggo kept her at her feet. Left at her feet, leaves and twigs in her braids, sunlight filtering all around. I couldn't stop staring through my future portal at most curious future self. Touching the crevice bark, the lines ran deep, like in shaman crony's face. She's found the truth, stepped away from the crowds to honor authenticity. She stepped out of the race. Walking through the forest one day, I saw a shaman crony. itself through a hole to the other side of a tree for a moment. A trilogy, tree crone, crony, future shaman crony, and me, and Ray.
Nice job, Ray. Nice read.
Thank you, Ray. Very much. Wayne, could you start us off, please?
Yes. She goes for a walk in the woods and sees herself in a tree and through the portal, sees a future, what her future is going to be like. And it seems like it has a lot of a, to me, it's like a Japanese hint to it. With the words that she uses and great phrasing and just a wonderful poem all around it. It's kind of neat the way she used her imagination in this poem. Great, great words, great lyrics, and just good all the way through. I loved it.
Thanks, Wayne. And Cal, please.
Oh, wow. This is very imaginative. I love her. Oh, shoot. Metaphors and the imagery of seeing herself through this portal in a tree. That's just amazing writing. That was fantastic. This is, I can't imagine something like that. You know, what I saw blew my mind, opened it up wide. Yeah, we'll do it. Very well done.
Thank you very much. Great comment. Yeah, I really enjoyed this piece. It's skillfully written, and it's it presents a vision of someone who sees herself in a tree, and she describes it so beautifully, draped in a tribal shawl, with her shoes on her dirt-stained feet, standing to the fore like, as well as the many variety of green ones. The leaves and twigs are raised, the sunlight filtering, the crevice bark, the lines run deep in the shaman crone's face. And that wind up at the end, the trilogy of the tree crone, future shaman crone, and me, is skillfully and very movingly handled. That was a great piece. Absolutely lovely. Gray, please.
Yeah, you know, it was filled with incredible imagery. I love the mystical nature of it, you know, peering through to the other side of the of your existence. I thought it was just a wonderful write.
It was. It was a real nice look at nature and mysticism. And Sawa, please.
Sawa dropped.
Okay. Thank you very much. Well, that brings us back to Gene.
Yes, sir. Bub. Okay. And I thought this was a great piece, Pam. I thought it was really well composed and, you know, I enjoyed the tale told. And I know there's a lesson to be learned in there. And I appreciate the way you share that with everyone. Great job. Okay. Wayne, you are up next.
Oh, really? I got a sound card with that. Did you get the sound card ready by any chance?
I do. I have that.
Okay. I enjoyed writing this poem. This is one of my favorite poems I've written for a while, and so hope you enjoy it.
So here we go.
This is called Curse of the Mosaic Mummy. Catching curse of the pharaohs from broken tomb lid, assassinating amputee applauds escaping pyramid, commanding spells crawls from sand-covered canvas, wearing tasseled satin ribbons, now skirts on surface, tossing stone stairs like trinkets, whispering men weep, guarding mummy's shadowed sword, sharpened to keep, calling beveled bees, barbed bats, and bubbled blackbirds, wooded webs of wicked wounded walls, of whirlwind herds, prism of torch flames, lit alleyway for Egyptian ambassador, denim dart of dimpled death, dotted dwelling door, molded marble mass mummy, manus marched to men, sheltered skipper scalded, scalloped and spiked to end. Patches of perfume puddles, poisonous to puppeteer people. Porcelain pathway panels packed with powdered pebble. Ebony eraser eyes ignites Earth's emerald enemy's kingdom. Cadmium-colored chrome cleaver catches crevice of cerebellum. Satan stands and stares while scarlet stains stream Sergei's shore. Molded metallic muscle machinery of men marches no more. In.
Wow. Wayne James, you have come a long, long ways in the last couple of years in your writing and in your ability to make an interesting SoundCloud. That was highly atmospheric. I really enjoyed it. And this piece, Lord, what a melange of wonderful alliteration and descriptive expertise. I don't think you miss anything in this. That second stanza is really something. Tossing stone stairs like trinkets, whispering men weep, guarding mummies, shadow sword sharpened to keep, calling beveled bees, barbed bats, and bubbled blackbirds, welded webs of wicked wounded walls of whirlwind herds. That is good stuff. That really
Thank
is.
You.
I feel like Thank I just you. Ate a good steak when I read words like that. Really kind of nice. Wow. Yeah, that's something else. You know, I'd like kind of like to get Gray's opinion on this piece because I just know he liked it.
Yeah, he did a fantastic job with the SoundCloud. Like, it was, as Lawrence said, very atmospheric. And the read was just spot on, you know. You captured the heart of the poem with sincerity in your reading, and that was a fabulous thing to hear. But the rite itself is it's a fantasy dreamscape, you know, that you paint here, and it's quite horrifying at times, but just a beautiful rite, though.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Gray. And Kel, please.
Oh, my goodness. I am so impressed. This is fantastic. Absolutely wonderful alliteration. Patches of perfumed puddles, poisonous to puppeteer people, personalized pathway panels packed with powdered pebbles, ebony eraser eyes ignite Earth's emerald enemy's kingdom, cadmium-colored chrome cleaver catches crevice of cerebellum. Wow, this is just fantastic writing and a wonderful one atmospheric SoundCloud. And also I've got to say one thing, Wayne.
Okay.
I have never heard you talk so slow. That was amazing and impressive, and I really, really quite enjoyed it.
Thank you very much. I didn't do it one time, so it took me several times to get down. Thank you for the comment. Great comment.
And follow up, please.
Stella dropped.
Oh, that's right. She did. So that's back to you now.
Okay. Well, Wayne here is the Word Bank Wonder. He is. I don't think I would have ever attributed that to a Word Bank, but it was well done and really well presented. So great job there, Wayne. Really enjoyed
Thank
it.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing. And the other Halloween author is here. We're having a little segment of Halloween. Hello, Frank. Welcome aboard.
Hello there, my friends. Boo to everyone.
Hey, Frank.
Hi, Frank.
Hello there, Cal. Hello, my friends. Hello, everyone.
Well, let me see now. Well, you are just in time to hear Laurent read a piece by A.P. Wanderer, a new poet to LMT, and this is called Loose Strand. So, Laurent, whenever you're ready. Oh, wait a minute, 1 second. Frank, did you hear Wayne's piece? Would you like to comment on it? I don't know what I was
doing. I didn't really hear the whole piece. What I heard was I think the last stanza, and I heard more of the conversation. But I have to say, first of all, I love that comment there by Cal. I mean, Wayne, it's not accustomed to hear him read a poem, recite a poem in that manner. But I think Wayne is a fantastic poet. I've said it before to him. He has a magnificent way of bringing a story to the forefront there. He brings us these colorful metaphors and these extraordinary usage of word banks there, of words there, the alliteration as well. I think he's just a pristine writer. He has this knack, as I said before, of always being, you know, not only that he rhymes, you know, he has that rhyming scheme, which is impeccable. He also makes it very much presentable in his poetry. He brings us a storyline here, which I thought was fantastic, the mummy there. I like the curse, the aspect of the curse, and the way he just brings it. It's a very vivid poem, but I have to say it was a very excellent write.
Well, great comment. Which was that good? Great comment.
Nice. Okay, Laurent, whenever you are ready.
All right. This piece is by A.P. Wanderer, who I think is a new member of Late Night Poets. And I'd like to welcome him and thank him for offering us this gold medal winning piece called Loose Strands. Mason, fools, glaciers, rain, rivers, ocean. Velvet waves of tic-tac-toe, crisscross coughs, expanding conduits. Color guards, woven sunlit reflection. Quilled sounds, gravities, carousel of thimble. Needle rounds, parchments, threaded. Strands, shades of blues, a blanketed December rose. Bits, pieces, storm-trapped, faded photographs. White sheets, stitched hourglass, mended memories. Tones blended and underscored, hem springs entangled, scarred skin sings sweet songs, sewn scissor cuts balanced beams, hot air balloon batting, cuddle near wrinkled fingers, frayed failing reams, fragrance, chiffon shades, covered tables, food in shattering seams, chemist of seawater, bone of minerals and stone, highway patterns dance, muddied khaki scraps, trophy fragments, field gray, old brocade rags, soliloquy feather stitch, star clotted gore, a yarn sunray. Architect of snowflake crystals, sand grains, spinners nocturne above, whirling blueberry fields, hint watercolor stems, cut a square tasks, cotton candy, lavender lace, art binding layers, dragonfly weaving, hand-woven trace, mismatched tiles, hold the downy back patches built, linen-edged ruler, a patchwork bedroom quilt, orchestral cloth-threaded DNA, hubbed, spoked spinning wheel, this world's solar galaxy display, amber fireflies camouflaged in crimson rhapsody, knitted fleece, perfumed Rembrandt, ballad skirted acrylic braille tapestry in the rough-hewn weave, cobweb nets, visual art woolen lens, fingerspelled wildflowers exiled, loose strands, a fabric wrap, sleeping child. poem. And wow, Loose Strands is everything that the title promises it would be. Yet this very skillful poet gathers all those loose strands together and presents us with a remarkable set of memories, kind of breathtaking, and certainly worthy of some careful reading. It is abstract in its presentation of phrases that seem almost at odds with each other. But, you know, when you get down to the fifth and the fourth and fifth stanza, it begins to bring everything together. And we see what is very carefully being built by this remarkable poet. Wow. It seems like after 11:30, I have a hard time saying anything properly.
It was as wonderful as a handmade quilt. You know, it all just came together. And I think that was pretty incredible.
It was
incredible.
It really did. Yeah. Thank you for jumping in, Gene. All right. I take it that Wayne has left us?
I don't know.
I'm here.
Could you comment, please?
I will. I said, I see why this one got the gold. It's excellently written. It's wonderful wording, and it starts out heavy and just keeps putting layer after layer of beautiful word lines. The poem from start to finish is wonderful. He built a wonderful poem when he wrote this. It's deep. It has a kind of an unrecognizable storyline, but it all fits together where it has a lot of meaning. Whether I can tell it, see what it means or not, it has a lot of meaning to it. Great, great, right. It's going to be a good poet, or he is a good poet.
Indeed. Greg, could you comment, please?
You know, it was an image-filled write, you know, and I said in my comment, it has undertones of madness invoked. You know, this is such a wide array of imagery, you know, that one kind of loses your mind in all of this, and that's not easy to do, so congratulations to him, and welcome to Late Night Poets, AP Wanderer.
Indeed. And Cal, please.
Oh, golly. This is absolutely a gorgeous write, putting together a quilt, and all the little layers that she put into it is absolutely fantastic. The images are gorgeous. And you really have, like you said, you have really no idea where she's going with it until the last few lines. And you realize, oh, she's building a quilt. That's beautiful. Yes, absolutely beautiful.
Thank you, Kel. And Frank, please.
Yes, I have to agree. This is a very exquisite write. You know, the whole notion there of loose strands, you know, it's you know, the poem is abstract, but at the same time, it has a beauty there, you know. It just, I like the alliteration in this piece here, but I like the tone from the beginning to end of this poem here, and just to end it there with a reference to a fabric wrapped sleeping child, that really tells me, it's, you know, what this poem is trying to say in the aspect of the moral.
Indeed. I mean, there. You know, if you look at stanza 5, when he speaks of orchestral cloth, threaded DNA, the hub, the spoke, spinning wheel, the knitted fleece, the all of that, the rough-hewn weave, all that refers to a fabric-wrapped sleeping child, if you will. If you look at the word fabric and the sleeping child, it kind of argues for something that was brought together, that patchwork bedroom quilt, the cut of square tasks, the cotton candy lavender. It all seems, from the beginning right down through to the end, to refer to the making of that quilt, but with other things thrown in as ancillary elements that open this poem up and let it breathe galaxy-wide. It's a hell of a piece.
You know, if that's after you know it's not a quilt, it comes together perfectly. When you go back and read it a second time, it is a better quilt.
I know. It's stunning. It really is. And it's, wow. I wish I had read it earlier in the evening instead of now, and my voice is starting to crack and creak and croak. All right, where are we? Gene, is it back to you?
Last I heard, we were in Late Night Poets on Blog Talk Radio. And that's what I can tell you. Now I'm back. I'm not so sure. I don't know. I guess it is back to me. I thought, but as I interjected, I thought that was a wonderful piece. Very well crafted. And the next poem is up. And I'm going to read it. It's Between Heartbreak and Rage by Sapphire Rose. Let me see if I can't help myself see it. Between heartbreak and rage, the answer lies deep in the abyss of your mockery. We spoke of secrets, intents, tried to remain friends. Your words cast shadows. Jealousy is like poison. It runs cold through my veins. You underestimate me, beloved. Your disdain, your claim to calm. Does my self-confidence disturb you? We both have washed our hands clean, yet the white flag you wave remains to be seen. Your lust, passion, possession, our past sleeps in my bed, drifting endlessly, painfully, invading places where it used to be, just you and me. Together we were valiant, wild and free. Where others hoped to find happiness, I thought we had it. Guess only for a time. End poem.
Well read, my dear. And Sapphire, she always pleases with her poetry. She's got some great lines in here. Jealousy is like poison. It runs cold through my veins. You underestimate me, beloved. When you put quotes around beloved, it really makes the word into an antonym of itself. This poem contains a lot of rage, a lot of anger, and I've got to say she really hit that tone beautifully. We both have washed our hands clean, yet the white flag you wave remains to be seen. I like this piece. Why don't we start with Frank?
Yes, I agree. I mean, you took most of my analysis there, my friend. I thought it was a very, very vivid poem. I did notice that tone as well. But I think it's a very poetic poem in the sense that it offers this sincerity to it. You know, the whole notion of jealousy is poison. It's one that we all know too well. But I think when you realize as well that you see aspects of a relationship and see it in a way that you try to understand a bit of it, you know, invading places where it used to be just you and me, there's a haunting aspect to that, you know. There's that sense of, you know, of acceptance. There's that sense of resignation. I thought we had it, guess only for a time. This poem just takes an array of emotions. It's a very visceral poem as well. I think she did an excellent job here, and I thought this poem really was well conveyed.
Good morning, Frank. Thank you very much. And Naomi, no, sorry, she's gone. Gray, please.
Sorry. That was a beautiful read, Phil. And, you know, this is a dark, dark poem. You know, that place between heartbreak and rage, you know. You can feel that place that she's at in this, right? And, like us, they're at. And, you know, sometimes no matter what you think, the future has different plans in mind. So sometimes that one that you think is perfect for you turns out not to be so much. But beautifully read, Phil. Excellent, right?
Thank you, hon.
Thank you, Greg. Excellent comment. And that brings us to Kel. Kel, please.
I thought it was a very emotive and personal write. Full of rage, but resignation about, you know, how things can end. And sometimes you're better off when they do end, and you can be in a better place than you were before. This is very
very well done and very passionate and deeply emotive. Well done, Sapphire.
Thanks, Gil. And Wayne, are you with us?
No, Wayne dropped.
Okay, back to you, Jean.
Okay, excellent, excellent, right? Absolutely. Very well expressed, Sapphire Rhodes. And thank you for sharing with us. Okay, this one has a SoundCloud. So I'm going to put that up. And let me play it. Here we go.
I'm a bit like the weather. Sometimes I'll bring you a storm. The rain will hammer around you as the dark clouds begin to form. The drops will reach your bones. You will feel the damp take hold. I will coat you in my tears as I embrace you with the cold. I express a bit like the weather. Sometimes I will howl and rage, forcefully blowing angry winds that uproot, taking you hostage. The drums will thrash violently. You will feel the thunder smash. I will make you shake with fear, as in through your walls I'll crash. I change a bit like the weather. Sometimes I make everything freeze. Cold snaps that eventually thaw, wrapping you up in a wistful breeze. The sun gently warming your skin. You will feel it bring sweet relief. I will make you feel the sun rays as I light you up into my belief. I feel a bit like the weather. Sometimes I'll lift the grey skies. I will paint on a rainbow so you forget you just witnessed my cries. End poem.
Great piece. Great piece. Thank you for that, SoundCloud. And let's start. Excuse me, with Frank, please.
Yes, I really did appreciate the poem for its just the tone of it. You know, it had a bit of a morose tone, but also it had a sense of serenity as well, resignation, as I said before in the previous. You know, to really just think about, you know, what the weather can mean to us, you know, and how we can describe it in our own lives, in our own experiences, mind blowing. She does a fantastic job here of just and the self perception of that, bringing us that perception there of what feelings, emotions are when we are inspired either through, you know, sadness, reflection, happiness. And I like that last line there, I will paint on a rainbow so you forget just witness my cries. It's a very haunting ending there, but it was a fantastic write.
That it was. And Gray, please.
You know, she did a fantastic job with the SoundCloud, and the poem is no less inviting. You know, it speaks to the emotions being tied to weather and, you know, the weathering of life through these emotions. You know, there's some anger in there. There's angst, and that there's love and acceptance as well. I thought it was just beautifully expressed poem.
Thank you, Gray. Yeah, it's a good point you make about the weather. I think it's absolutely stunning how weather emulates human emotions, or we as humans like to mirror or cast our emotions in the same form as the weather, because every subtlety of emotion, with the possible exception of love, is contained in the weather, and is contained in this fine piece. It really is quite clever and beautifully written. I really like this. Kel, please.
I love the images of the weather she portrays in this in regards to emotion. I thought it was very, very well done, and I can definitely relate to some of this. I think most women can. And talking to men, you know. I think it was very, very well done.
Thank you, Gal and Jean.
I thought this was a great piece. I really liked the way she expressed herself. Her thoughts were well expressed. Let me put it that way. And, yeah, I really enjoyed it very much. And I want to thank her. Shelly's actually pretty new to the group. She's only been in about a week or so. So it's nice to have her join in. And I look forward to hearing more. Okay. The next piece I have up is Frank's. So, Frank, here we go. Oh, and Wayne made it back. There we go. Okay, I'm going to start the audio.
Evil hath a daunting disguise in hidden truth to be revealed. If you ever dare to venture beyond its menacing maze of grisly care, for it is a perversion of our many sins and misdeeds unpunished. Its past is found within the story of a forgotten boy and an unknown camp. Death is the sweetest vengeance of the sonorous cells of inferno, a haunting torment of such intense display and unthinkable suspense, lingering in the mind and guilty conscience of the condemned, the devilish doom that seals the irreversible fate of the brazen fools. When you enter the door to this dark world of inescapable horror, beware of the ghastly monsters of the spooky night on the prowl, in search of the victims of the feast of blood and human flesh. For you just might not live to see the following day transpire. Trapped forever in the surreal realm of a never-ending madness, where the horrendous episodes of fear continue to then materialize. Every sequence of this nightmare is repeated over and over again, till your breath is stifled by the uncontrollable consternation. Within the deep and creepy recesses of the thick woods stands an aura blazing fire from the creation of Lucifer, an eerie executioner, bludgeoning, piercing, slashing like a cornifex, a full force of the setting in to your pathetic mortality. A horripilation of fright tingles down your shaken spine at once as you try to flee from the tight grasp of this demise unfolding. He knows how to find you in every hiding place on this earth. His name is Jason Voorhees, a little boy that had drowned at Camp Crystal Lake years ago. You cannot escape his wrath, for he lives, but his mother is the one you must fear the most.
Kill them, Mommy. Kill them, Mommy.
Ha 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 ha
Wow, Frank. The use of the word horripilation is unique in my 4 or 5 years here on this site. Nobody has used that word that, to my knowledge, not even once. Kudos to you on that word. And to find out that that word actually exists is even better. I thought you'd made it up, and I thought it was sheer genius. I am not a horror film watcher. I had to think for a long moment before I realized who Jason was. Yet I can't deny the dark beauty, a shining darkness, I should say, of the skill and creativity in the creation of this poem. I admire it from a distance while resisting getting involved in the storyline, for which I apologize. That's just my nature.
That's no problem, my friend. I appreciate that.
Wow.
And a corner fix is another word for butcher. It's another absolute word as well.
There are more words that we don't know that actually exist than we can possibly think about. The language is such it grows. It's an omnibus of sensation that is really quite remarkable, as is this poem. Congratulations, Frank. Nice job.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Gray, oh gray, give forth.
Well, that SoundCloud was epic, Frank. You know, you did an excellent job with the SoundCloud. And what a fear-invoking, powerful poem that you've written here, especially with the ending of, but Fear the Mother, kill mommy, kill them, mommy, kill them. Just a beautiful read, next one, right?
No, I appreciate that, my friend. I had fun.
Thank you, Gray. Now, let's see if Kel is shivering in her skirt. Kel?
I'm very, very well, maybe. I'll never tell. I've said it again, and I'll say it before. Roll over, Vincent Price. Wow. This is really amazing writing. I've got to admit that the very first Jason was the first actual horror film that I watched all the way through. And my family laughed their asses off when the movie was over, and I screamed when he jumped out of the water. I actually screamed my ass off, and I never heard the end of it. But I also can't help noticing, where was it, where the horrendous episodes of fear continue to then materialize. Every sequence of this nightmare is repeated over and over again until your breath is stifled by the uncontrollable consternation. Oh, my God, there's another one and another one and another one. I sensed a little bit of sarcasm in that bit. Very well done, Frank. Very well done indeed.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Dan. And kill the mappy.
Jane, that leaves us your comments.
I'm scumbag, Lauren.
Oh, go ahead.
I just have to get my phone charged up just to talk. Well, anyway, the way Frank pronounces his words is just in such a theatrical voice is one of a kind. His poems are a production that warrants a larger audience, like a countrywide audience. It's such a good poem. And this poem leads you down a dark path that it's telling you to be worried what's about to happen. Then the slashing and piercing and bludgeoning starts happening. And it's Jason. And it says, the fear of Jason and his mom. And then at the very end, just when I was just getting caught a couple of that, he goes last and busted out and jumped me out of my chair. So it's just a great professional job he did with this, Frank. And I enjoyed it a lot.
All right.
Great job.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, my friend.
Thank you very much, Wayne. Sorry, I didn't realize you were back. And Cal? Oh, we already did Cal. Gene.
That's Gene, remember? Told you, Cal. Told you. It was well written, Frank, and a great performance. So, nice job. Very well
done. Thank you very much, Sophia. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Gray, I apologize for not getting to your piece, but I will carry it
on
Friday.
Fine. That's fine.
Yeah, well, I'll carry it Friday. And I have two other carryovers. I have one by Emma Gettle. Thank you, Martha. I appreciate you. And that'll be on next Friday as well. And Casey, yours will as well. So thank you, everybody. I appreciate everyone hanging out tonight. All right, thanks for co-hosting with me. Gray, thanks for calling in and hanging all night. Frank, thanks for giving us a buzz. Wink, thanks for hanging. You were here all night, too.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Fun episode. And Kel, you as well. Called in and hung out with us all night. I love that. That's awesome.
Love you guys.
Yeah. And thank
love you,
you
guys.
Naomi. Thank you, Salwa. And am I missing anybody, Laurent? God, I hope not.
Sapphire Rose for hanging out on the board.
Oh, yes, yes, absolutely. Sapphire Rose is hanging out on the board. You're absolutely correct. She hung in there peacefully all night long.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I thank everyone again, and I hope you all join, or whoever can, will join Aphasiana and perhaps Babbler tonight after, well, 12:30 in the midnight shows, after midnight shows. And, I look forward to the next time. Could be Friday next week, but probably not. It's probably more like Tuesday, Sunday, Wednesday, you know. I mean, you never know. Anyway, it was good hearing from everybody. Thank you so much for all you do, for your participation. I appreciate it.
Take care, my friend.
Take care.
Well, not just take care.
Good night, everybody. Much love.
Good night.
Take care, Greg.
Take care.
Good night, everyone.
Have a great
day. Take care.
Bye-bye.